You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Notorious, as you said, we got a big show lined up for everybody here today. Michael Regei will be with us in just a moment at the bottom of this hour. Pete Prisco from CBS in hour number two. We're going inside the locker room with Joe Thomas at the top of this hour, 1:55. And then, of course, the midseason awards, the CBD midseason awards. Yes, everybody dressed in tuxedos, ready to go to hand out the hardware. That'll be approximately 2:05 p.m. Eastern to start our second hour. And I'm certainly looking forward to a little award show. Everybody likes a good award show.
A good award show is always great. Now, I don't think we're going to have we should have wore the tuxes. We're not going to wear the tuxes like your standard for a lot of these award shows, but it'll feel that way. It'll feel that big just because that's how we do things. And by the way, Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440. How about that? Get the number right, Vic. 440-824-3434 today. Got so excited about that because I got to tell you, you're going to want to be there. This team's playing relevant games through the final 7 weeks of this season, and a bunch of them are going to be in the stadium. Why not be there and enjoy it?
Absolutely. Get in there, enjoy it. And this is a chance for this team. And I think one of the things we heard yesterday that I thought was so good is that you play for the here and now. A lot of the talk about the draft, et cetera, et cetera. I'm all about going for the here and now. I think that the depth at the positions, the quarterback position in the draft, where it doesn't look like there's anyone who is that good that has to be had that early, certainly means that the Browns can have a successful season, make a run at this thing, and still probably have the opportunity to get a player that they want and can develop, not to mention the fact that they have some time with Campbell and Hoyer playing so well to maybe utilize those guys as bridge quarterbacks. But, yeah, this is get out there. Support this team that really has, in many ways, turned things around in a very short period of time because while the record is not maybe as good as it could be, the record could certainly be better if maybe there were some changes along the way, but nonetheless, given where we are, it is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, and no, I think this is the way you want things to be, I'll rephrase that. You want 9-0. You want what Kansas City has, sorry,
of
but
we don't
have that. But I think given where this team has been, to have what this team has now is a pretty special thing. Now, got to work on some stuff. Let's not forget there are some key areas that need addressing, and I don't think it's just lip service going through the motions. Granted, this is the bye week. Granted, the kids, it's like that day in one of the schools let out in Ohio, what, in the June area, right? So, you know, I know I always remember the time in New York where the school year is coming to an end. And you just can't wait, or vacations coming up, and your mind is really not on what's going on in the classroom. So I don't doubt that there was a little bit of that going on in Berea, where players were anxious to get out, to get back to their various homes around the country and just get away from football for a while. But that said, I think some meaningful work was done to address the running game, to address third down defense. Nathan, these are two areas where this team has got to show at least some level of improvement, whatever that might be in the running game. I'm not expecting anything remotely close to dominance, but improvement there. And on third down defense, you've heard Ray Horton talk about it. That is a major area they got to address.
Yeah, well, you look at the running offense, the rushing offense of the Browns right now ranks 25th in the NFL. And you talk about third down defense. Believe it or not, despite the fact that when you break down the numbers, the Browns are excellent in just about everything, including leading the NFL at just 4.5 yards per play allowed. Their third down defense, that's the one Achilles heel, second worst in the league at 46% conversion rate allowed on third down. Only the Minnesota Vikings at 50% are worse. And really, when you look at the teams, this is interesting because it tells you a little about third down defense. These are the five worst teams in third down defense: the Vikings, the Browns, the Falcons, the Giants, and the Jaguars. Jaguars. They all have one thing in common. They do not have winning records. So it is important to get off on third downs. And the Browns, certainly, if they can improve that, have an opportunity to really step up, because their defense on first and second down, obviously playing as well as any defense in the entire NFL. And I'm glad you brought up the running game, Vic, because it's an interesting situation, an interesting scenario, and really a conversation that can be had. I'm sure we'll talk about it with Pete Prisco, because he's the foremost leader of the notion that you don't need running backs. I don't know if you got to see at ESPN.com Pat McManaman's interview with Joe Thomas today, but basically he came out and said, and this is a quote from Joe Thomas, I'm looking at today's NFL, and I'm just not sure there's a place for running backs anymore. If you're a defensive coordinator and you give up a 100-yard rusher, you don't really care. It doesn't translate to winning games.
Yes, I'm fully aboard with that notion. And I'm ready to say that and ready to go there. As someone who has, again, been around this a long time, was brought up in the run and stop the run mentality, especially the years that I watched the Buffalo Bills on their Super Bowl run. Now, that team we know was driven by the no-huddle offense that Jim Kelly ran. It was explosive. They did a lot of big things through the air. He certainly put up enough numbers that allowed him to become a Hall of Fame quarterback with James Lofton, a Hall of Fame receiver, Andre Reed catching passes from him. But they also had a guy named Thurman Thomas at running back. And that offense, while effective and fast-paced for throwing the football, it was extremely effective as a run-based offense. And Thurman Thomas ran his way into the Hall of Fame from that offense. So it was Marv Levy's run-and-stop-the-run approach that made that team dynastic, short of winning championships. And obviously two of those losses came to Michael Irvin's, two of those Super Bowl losses to Michael Irvin's dominant Cowboys, who also had a guy named Emmitt Smith.
That's
and
right.
ran the ball well with North Turner running the offense. So I was schooled in all of that, I sit here today recognizing this is a very different National Football League, that you have to be able to throw it well and make sure your quarterback is supreme. He's got to be a top-end player, or at the very minimum, if he is Alex Smith and he's not putting up Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees numbers, he's almost never turning the ball over for you. And that the anomaly there is you got running backs and you've got a defense. And the way their structure is, we'll see. That's really not the model, but it's an exception. And, yes, it's the only 9-0 team. So the pro the people who are pro running game will want to point to that as not so fast on the talk that it's a passing league, but I'm buying that mentality from Joe Thomas.
Yeah, and I think he goes on to make some very interesting points in this article, which again is at ESPN.com, and he says this, quote, "You have to have somebody who's a once-in-a-generation talent like AP to really be a difference maker in the game. But you get one Josh Gordon. You throw him a jump ball in triple coverages. He goes up, catches a touchdown. You win the game. That's one guy, one play. He can do it three times a game. Calvin Johnson, AJ Green. You can go down the list of guys like that who are game changers." And he goes on to say basically that you have to change the entire defense to try to take somebody like that out of the game. So, and running the game is so hard, 6-7 times guys block perfectly, but there are more defenders than runners always. So he says that it's a changing game, and you're seeing that really a playmaker like a Josh Gordon is more valuable overall to an offense than a good running back, unless you have somebody special like Adrian Peterson out there. And if really when you look at the teams in the NFL right now, let's just go ahead and real quickly look at the standings in the National Football League. And you tell me what teams that are having great success this season are truly built around their ground games. And I would argue that really the answer is very, very few. Very, very few. In the NFC, Dallas is leading the NFC East. Certainly not built on their ground game.
Nope.
Detroit, Green Bay in the NFC North, they're built around Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. Chicago uses Matt Forte, but as a pass catcher as much as a runner, that's much more of a pass-oriented offense. He happens to be a great dual-threat back, kind of like Reggie Bush is a great dual-threat back in the NFC North. But those guys are kind of the more modern back than just that smash mouth.
Can I just insert? Keep
going. Go ahead.
With this, but I just want to insert with Detroit and Green Bay. I will say they both have seen improvement.
Sure.
In their running, right, in their respective running games. Reggie Bush, what he's doing to help the Lions. He's part of that story, obviously.
No question.
But it's Stafford-driven. And in Green Bay,
Eddie Lacy's coming on strong.
What Eddie Lacy's done for them and how it's opened some things up. And, my God, the only chance they had against Chicago was not with Seneca. They're in trouble. And I don't think the running game is going to save them, by the way. They better get some answer at quarterback beyond Seneca Wallace, but that's a whole separate story. That reinforces our point,
right?
Is that you take Aaron Rodgers out of that conversation in Green Bay, got problems.
Right. I mean, really, I think Seattle and San Francisco are the only two teams in the NFL that still beat you up physically on offense and play great defense to win. Now, they do have mobile quarterbacks who make their read option game that much more effective and make their running game more effective. But in terms of just turning around, lining up, and saying we're just going to run the football, the good teams in the NFL aren't doing it based on that. Kansas City, in fact, with Jamal Charles, is as much a receiver as he is a runner. But that's, you know, those are the exceptions and not the norm in the National Football League anymore. Yeah. Michael Redguy will join us when we return right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.